Welcome to Women in WordPress, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. All right, welcome to the very first episode of Women in WordPress. I'm Amy Masson. I'm here with my friends, Angela Bowman and Tracy Apps.
Hello.
Hello.
And I'm going to just jump right in and tell the story of how this happened and how we got to this point. In December, I was planning my drive from West Lafayette to Nashville for WordCamp US, and I was loading up my phone with some industry podcasts so I could educate myself on the road like I like to do. For some reason, I can't stand to listen to music in the car on long trips. I need to have words or talking. And I noticed when I was loading up my phone that all of the podcasts were hosted by men. And it kind of crossed my mind. I'm like, why aren't there any of these podcasts that have women hosts? And I know there are a few, but I just feel like so many are, it's just dominated by men. So I kind of brought it up a little bit at WordCamp US, kind of threw it out there. And I felt like I didn't get a big response, at least for the women I talked to at the conference. But I got back and I put out a tweet saying, I have this idea for a Women of WordPress podcast. Is there any interest? And that tweet had 54 comments, 142 likes, and 31 retweets, which, you know, maybe for, you know, some, like a a Kardashian, that's the word I'm looking for.
There you go.
That is no, that's, you know, a daily tweet. For me, that was a huge response, and I was totally overwhelmed. But it really reinforced that maybe this is something that needed to happen. And so two of the people that responded were Angela and Tracy. And so I reached out to them to see if they wanted to be involved.
Yeah, when I saw that tweet, I was like, oh my gosh, someone else has this idea. And I talked to Tracy about this idea in, what was it, 2015?
I think
at LoopCon was when we talked about that. And it was just so daunting, the whole idea of doing a podcast. But when you said it, it was like, oh, someone else wants to do that. And I still had that interest kind of burning there for the past few years.
Yeah. And one of the things like that I noticed very vividly at LoopConf, it was very developer heavy. And therefore, unlike WordCamps, which has a really great balance of genders and starting to get more diversity in this, LoopConf, especially the first one, was very heavily dominated by men. And all of us women kind of between sessions, we all just kind of found each other and we just ended up kind of automatically hanging out and talking. And that's where we started talking about this podcast idea. And yeah, like it didn't get like, yeah, everyone, let's do this right now. Like everyone that we talked to, there was actually some pushback, but because of it, you know, setting us aside or setting us apart, you mean? Like, but that is not the intention of this by any means. It's more of a formulating community and bonding together in a place where we are the minority in this industry.
And do you think that there's been a shift in 2019 with the Me Too movement that maybe women are more interested in hearing from other women rather than just maybe taking a sideline to the men, or maybe that's not the right way to phrase it, but do you feel like there's something that's changed this time rather than when you guys first had the idea?
I think there's been a huge shift in the past 4 years. I think there's been a lot more conversation around the numbers of women in tech. There's been a lot more industry talk about and studies of different companies, and when they include women and they include diversity, that they actually perform better. And so I think that there's just more of an openness to talk about and a recognition of that, one, it's an issue, and two, there's value in having women. But then there's also been studies of that there's value in women-only conferences, and kind of these women-only things isn't so much about like discriminating against men. It's more that when you're in an industry that you're underrepresented in and having to hit that glass ceiling, that these women-only conferences and events really do help women to feel more confident and more positive and have financial benefit as a result of participating in those. So I think there's just a lot more talk about the whole topic. It's kind of opened up, I feel like, in the past 4 years.
Yeah, and I definitely want to make sure that everybody understands this isn't a, you know, man-bashing podcast that we hate men. That's not the case. And it's not a podcast about complaining about how we are mistreated or under-treated or whatever words we want to use. You know, words are my great forte here. But it's just something that says here, we're out here, we're doing great work. We love this field. We just want to support each other and provide this outlet for showcasing what we're doing and what other people are doing in this industry. And I think the WordPress community especially has something really special, and it's different than I think the other, you know, open source or other communities that makes this more viable and more interesting to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And like what you said, is that community, that banding together and showcasing. At least in my realm, I've been self-employed for many years, with, you know, sometimes working contract and working with teams, but a lot of the times just working solo, and that whole imposter syndrome coupled with being a minority in a field, it just seemed to like magnify that. And so to have this this platform basically to lift up people and be like, no, actually, there are more of us, and we're doing amazing things. So let's highlight that.
Yeah. And I found, I host a couple meetup groups, and one meetup group is mostly for more the developers, people who are responsible for building sites for other people. And when I started that meetup group, I kind of started co-organizing it with someone else who was actually the organizer of the group and kind of took it over from him. But there was mostly men, and it was, you know, I would be in the room talking to, you know, 12 or 15 dudes, and I was like either the only woman or there might have been one other woman in the room. And these guys were super respectful. And, you know, I kind of at times just would feel a little verklempt because I'd be like, wow, these guys are here and they come and they're listening to what I have to say. And it just like, so it was so amazing to me, but at the same time, where are the women? But I just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And then the women started to come. And I think the reason the women came was because it was led by a woman. Had this meetup group been led by a guy and with 12 or 16 guys showing up every month, I don't think other women would have felt as safe to come. But now we have more like equal numbers, men and women. And I think that is in large part because I'm the one who's leading it and I'm a woman, and that automatically creates a safe space for women. And they are super smart and doing developer level work. And but it is challenging when it is male dominated.
That's amazing that you were able to get so many women. I don't have a local WordPress community in my town, but there is a local open source community. And, you know, I'm friends with the people that run it. And for years, the person that was kind of managing all the meetings, and he's a huge feminist, was really trying to get, you know, women. He was championing women, come to our meetups, show up, we want you to be there. And so I did, I went to one. And I knew the people there, and it was fine. I enjoyed talking to them. I just never went back because I didn't feel like it was for me. It wasn't a space that I felt like I belonged, even though I did. So I think that is something that's led me to where I am today and wanting to create more spaces where women can come together and you know, talk about what we do and be nerds, because I just really like being a nerd.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in a lot of areas of my life, in my history of my journey, like I started off in college in computer engineering at an engineering school. So it was very often where I was the only woman in the class. I played drums, and then, you know, that was one of those things where it was like guys, pretty much. It was all guy drummers, right? Percussion sections and such. But it's I've always felt like that's a challenge, and I just want to stick with it. because one of the things that I bring to the table, this value that I bring, is that I have a different perspective. And like you said, it's not a bash or, you know, criticism against, you know, the male dominated, that kind of standard stereotypical male developer, for example. But I have, like, I go through life differently. I think of things differently. We all do when we're women in this world, even. So things like safety when we're making products, those kinds of things aren't always thought through, because if you don't experience them yourself, that doesn't necessarily get on the table unless someone who has experienced that or has the empathy of, you know, seeing that in their life or close by their life, that bring that to the table. It sometimes gets, a lot of times it gets overlooked.
That's interesting. You mentioned the word empathy, because that's something I'm sure you all go to enough word camps to know that's been a real topic lately, like empathy and decode, empathy and development, empathy for your users. And and I think women do kind of bring some of that empathetic perspective to the table, for sure.
Well, I'm also really hoping that this podcast can help women that are, you know, in this field but are struggling with imposter syndrome. I know so that's something that all three of us experience. When I went to my first WordCamp, now, so I started my business in 2006, and I went to my first WordCamp in 2013, and so there was a lot of years of just working all by my little self in my house and not talking to anybody else who was doing the same thing. Like I said, I don't have a WordPress community here locally. You know, there are people that are doing it, but there's no kind of organized movement. So I just had not talked to anybody else using WordPress at all before that WordCamp. And I went in absolutely terrified. You know, I sat in the back. I didn't talk to anybody else except for the people I came with. And I left feeling better about myself, but not, you know, there were talks about imposter syndrome at that camp. So that really gave me a little more perspective. But I'm hoping that sharing other women's stories in this podcast will also help other people that felt like I felt at that first WordCamp.
That's a really good point, because I felt the same way. I started doing WordPress development. I don't even know. My first blog was on B2, which is the code base that ended up getting forked to become WordPress. So like I've been doing this stuff since then, and, you know, had a blog before comments were around, all that kind of stuff. But again, it was in a silo. This was before the Stacked Overflows of the world, where and even the Google was around, and you had to piece together through books, maybe some website help, you know, to do this like development stuff, but very, very siloed, especially because now it didn't even have like articles to read that even someone that was of my at my level or learning through this stuff. But it was when I started going to the WordCamps is when I really started seeing, like, wait a minute, like, one, I was really impressed by, for as big as WordPress is, like, it's so huge, there is a real sense of community, which I think is a really, I think really need to, like, call attention to that and celebrate that, because you know, you get to like these big corporations or something, anything that gets big, it starts feeling just big and you just feel anonymous. So this, I was seeing, I was like, oh, there's a core community. There's community. There's people being able to share things and learn from each other. And it was just, it was mind blowing, really.
Oh, I know. I wanted to add on to your story about this community. So, you know, I kind of stumbled into it via way of a mommy blog that I wrote about my family. But, you know, before I was using it professionally, that's what I used it for. But so I, you know, like I said, I didn't know anything about the WordPress community till 2013. I was just looking at other people's websites, that other people that were making websites, their websites. And there was a woman that had one online, and it it wasn't WordPress. It was some kind of e-commerce, and she had white labeled it. Like, I was looking at the source code and I could see she'd white labeled it. And I sent her this message and I said, hey, you know, I am also, you know, I build websites. So I just was wondering what you're using. What, you know, what is this content management system? What you've got white labeled? And she responded, she's like, well, obviously I can't tell you that. I'm sure you understand. And I was just shocked. I couldn't believe that I got that response, that she would not tell me what she was doing. That, and then I, you know, once I learned about WordPress and all these people in WordPress, and everybody just like vomits their information all over you every time you talk to them. It's such a different dynamic.
That's a great vision there.
Yeah, it's interesting because I love the whole mommy blogger to developer story. I think that is so fabulous. It just should be a headline or something. I was kind of similar to Tracy. I wasn't, I had been building static HTML sites and took this class in CSS. And at the very, very, very last 5 minutes of class, the guy's like, well, if you're going to use CSS, you might want to look into using a content management system, and WordPress is the thing that people are really into. And he mentioned Joomla and I think Drupal, and he explained how to install WordPress. And so I went home that night, you know, like 9:30 at night, and I start the famous 5 minute install.
Like right before the 5 second install.
Yeah.
Before midnight, Fantastico. Like,
right. No, there were no auto installers. Yeah, by midnight, I completed the 5 minute install. But I like felt like, wow, no, this is the future. And I just knew it. Like, and it was in like in 2007. And I'd been working, just kind of building some sites and struggling, like, what is a style sheet? What are these templates? Where are they even existing? Like, how do you get a widgetized sidebar? Like there were, you know, that was the big thing then. It's like, can I just get a sidebar that I can put widgets in, you know? And then,
now we all like, hate widgets.
Now we all hate widgets.
Sidebars.
No more widgets. And sidebars, no more sidebars. Right. That's awesome. So I went to this all women designers group, and I was invited to just go to this group, and there was another woman there using WordPress. And it was like, wow, you use WordPress? I use WordPress. And we started partnering and working together and sharing our struggles and trials and tribulations. And then we thought we should teach classes because we've figured some stuff out. Let's vomit on people. And it was hard to get people to sign up. We had to cancel a few. No one knew what WordPress was. But it's like it grew. And it is amazing how much how little kind of information there were, but there were a few people online sharing information, and that was, you know, you'd Google a lot. You'd have to figure out a lot, but there wasn't quite the wealth of knowledge at all that there is now.
Yeah, I have to make a confession. Like my first, because I also started like hard coding HTML and before CSS with just tables.
Oh, for basically. Sure.
Yeah, 100%.
One by one pixel. Transparent spacer GIF.
Yes.
but I'll admit my first, because I did not understand how themes worked. And yeah. I couldn't wrap my brain around it because I was using like, oh, this file shows up this because, you know, like this is the URL because the file is this path name, you know, like, and so I could not figure out themes. So I would basically hard code a whole website and then just take like the WordPress guts and like throw it in the middle of the table and done. No. They were the worst ever.
If you've been doing this long enough, I think that we've all done this.
Before I really knew how to really call for different things conditionally, I had conditionals that I got a PHP developer to help me write, and I had like 10 different sidebar.php files that I would call for conditionally because I couldn't be, but you know, I know if we looked back at some of our old sites, but that's all part of what I think is great about this community is people are willing to share, and you don't have to be super, super embarrassed to be like, ugh, I don't get it.
And yeah, I think episode 2 should just be us showing our first sights and how
That'd be awful.
Oh, but it would be like awesomely embarrassing awful.
Baby pictures.
Teenage pictures.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, going forward, what we want to do, I think we've all agreed on this, is we want to bring in other women to be guests on the show and to talk to them about their journey and how they got into WordPress and what they're doing with WordPress. So I wanted to start by asking each of you your journey and how you got to WordPress.
Well, I'll start. So like I said, my first blog was in B2, but even like back up before that, like how I got into just web design development in the first place. So I remember this was like 1996, and I want to say it was like the summer because I didn't think I had school the next day. I was in high school and I was browsing through because we finally had a computer that went, it called the internet, and it was amazing. And I would just spend hours just clicking on like links and seeing people like make these, well, they're now by today's standards, they're, well, even then they were pretty horrendous, patterned backgrounds, animated GIFs galore. But I was realizing that these sites were actually being made, some of them, by people that were my age. So I was like, oh, someday I want to do that. And I stopped myself mid-thought. I was like, oh, I don't have school tomorrow. So I stayed up all night, tied up the only phone line in the house, so I got in trouble from my parents. Because what if there was an emergency?
What if there was an emergency? Yes. What if
there was an emergency? but I taught myself, and I made my first website. Like, then I bought HTML books, and I just kind of went from there. And then, you know, blogs. This sounds like a great idea. I can put all of these things, all of my thoughts, and just puke them out on the internet. Cool. And it just snowballed from there.
Yeah, I started in the 90s as well with HTML because I worked for a software company and I was kind of responsible for their post-release technical notes, and they had to be posted online. So I kind of had to learn how to, you know, put all this text into HTML. So I knew basic HTML, and it wasn't until a few years later, during the, you know, dot-com crash, that I was out of a job. And I actually said this, did the keynote talk for WordCamp Denver last year. And that was kind of what my keynote was about, was the strange ways that we come to be where we are in the chance meetings and being willing to help other people that kind of takes us on the next step of our path. But I was unemployed and helping this old lady who was having issues with her computer and some files she lost. And a woman there was like, oh, you're good with computers. You should volunteer for our nonprofit organization. And then the nonprofit needed a website, and I needed to figure out how to build a nice fancy website. And so I used Microsoft Front Page. Yeah. So Microsoft Front Page, and I thought it was a nice website, but then it's kind of that era. There was, this transition between like people wanting brochures versus people wanting websites. And so, I knew graphic design, and people stopped asking for brochures and started asking for websites. And so it was in that path that I got into WordPress after several years of building those table-based sites. And, but the community part of that was pretty key, because I don't think I would have been able to be doing what I'm doing now without getting, you know, just working on my own by myself in my own space, because by like meeting other women and other people in the space and being able to partner with them and get help, and, you know, someone who's maybe more skilled in PHP than I am, it was, you know, or someone who's a better designer or better writer, like, it just is amazing. I think a lot of people come to WordPress thinking that they have to be everything. And I think it's just so important to realize that you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be it all. You just have to be, resourced and be able to pull in other people to help you. And I think that's kind of what you do, Amy, right?
Yeah, I try to be everything to everyone and it doesn't work. And so I think one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my career is finding other people to do the things that I don't know how, or I'm not good at, or I just don't want to do. So my path to WordPress started in the 90s, in 1995, when I made my first website, my sophomore year of college, back when we were using Netscape. I taught myself HTML by looking. I didn't have a book like Tracy. I wasn't fancy. But I taught myself HTML by reading the source code on other websites. And I would just look at their source code and I would copy and paste and make my website. And it was mostly about, this was college. So it was about politics and drinking. And I think that was mostly it. But I left college knowing how to make websites. I took a few computer classes for part of my major in education, but then I went on to be a teacher. So I was teaching middle school computers. So I was still, in the computer industry by happenstance, just that was the only job I got offered at the time. And spent a few years teaching computers until my son was born. And I decided to stay home, and I had no intention of doing anything other than teaching. My plan was to be home with my kids, and then when they went back to school, I was going to go back to teaching. And instead, what happened is that my hairdresser needed a website. And she asked me, I know, she asked me, I really should send her a thank you card. We're still Facebook friends. She asked me to make her a website for a salon, so I did. And then one of her hair clients had a boutique in town and asked her about it. And so she just called me up one day and said, "Hey, I've got this lead for you. You should call her." And so I did, and I got that job. And, I work with my sister. She's a designer, which I'm not. So we were able to kind of merge our skills to be a full service, website making company. Cause we had the skills to get it built and design it. And people just started coming to us, and a lot of it started by referral. And 13 years later, now we're full time with people that work with us, and I am really, really glad that I didn't go back to teaching.
And actually, that brings up a really interesting point. Like, what is your degree in? Because a computer based? Like,
so my main degree, and I should pull out my diploma, it's somewhere around here. It is secondary education, but my main area of subject was English. So I was going to be an English teacher. One of the options they had was to become licensed. They called it a computer endorsement. So you could get licensed to teach computers. Mm-hmm. You just took like an extra 12 credit hours, and I had room in my schedule, and I liked the instructor of the first class. And so I was like, well, I can do that. And then I've got this will look good on my resume that I've got this computer endorsement so I can teach computers. And then, I just happened to send resumes to every school with an opening, and this one was the one that hired me. And so that's kind of, I should send that person a thank you card too.
There you go.
Because that's how I ended up teaching computers.
That's awesome. Angela, what about you?
Well, I was a high school dropout.
Wow.
I was like a gifted and talented student who was also a bad...
Were you a bad seed?
I mean, I wasn't really a bad girl. I got all straight A's. I went to all my classes, but I got pregnant at 14 and I dropped out of high school.
My.
And I, it was kind of this moment of, wow, how am I going to get back up into the level with my peers? It was pretty intense. And I knew I was going to keep the baby. I just was like, wow, I'm going to have to work my ass off to make this happen. And I really wanted to be able to go back to school. And so I got my GED when my daughter was 4 years old. And I went to the community college and I got a degree. At the time, like, they did have some really interesting classes there. But I think in my mindset as a woman, I felt like, oh, I need to get a degree secretarial. That was the kind of track that I felt pushed towards. And it seemed practical, get these office skills. But really what I got was kind of a computer applications degree. And I was so good that the school hired me while I was taking these classes to actually teach the other students in the class.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah. So I ended up running the computer lab, teaching, tutoring other students. But this is like, this is before Windows, you guys. Like, this is really dating me. But this is like, it's like dual disk floppy drive days, you know.
Like
this
DOS.
This is DOS. This is WordPerfect. This is,
Play a little King's Quest, a little Rogue.
There you go.
I can get on some DOS with you.
Yeah, let's do it, baby. Hey, I can rock those terminal commands now.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, so yeah, so then I got that degree and I became a secretary and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And I thought, I want to go back to school. I always wanted to get my bachelor's degree, and I went to CU, and just the thing that I was most drawn to, my first semester, I took a class called Women in Religion. And it was so fascinating to me. So I ended up being a religious studies major and loving it. And I had a big emphasis in Buddhism, Hinduism, Christian traditions. I took some Islam, Sufism, Native American traditions. And I just loved liberal arts. And I did a lot of film studies and dance. And yeah, I'm a liberal arts. I'm like a product of a liberal arts education. And I really crafted it to my liking. And then I got graduated and it was like, oh, now I need to get a job. And oh, so I went straight into software.
That is an amazing path.
That is great.
I think you just blew us all out of the water.
Yeah. I'm an artist, because I just have a general art degree. No focus, just BA art.
Now, what do you do with BA art?
Whatever you make up.
Okay. I just wondered what one would path would be for that.
Yeah, that would be the complaint of parents around the world of, what are you going to do with that?
Well, that's the same like with a history degree. It's like, great, you know a lot about history. What do you do with that?
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I had started doing client work when I was in college. So when I graduated with my BA art, I already had a portfolio of client work, at least 3 years of client work, because everyone wanted to hire a college student because they were cheap. Yeah. And I loved working for, that was more than ramen noodles. Like that's a win in my book when I was in college. So yeah, it's one of those where you just kind of make your own path.
So like, I'm really curious with you, Tracy, you have really great artistic sensibilities and, you know, the design sensibilities, but you're also a damn good coder. So like, how did you discover, like, where do you find yourself in that in terms of your left brain, right brain? And what do you love the most? Like, and how did you discover that you were a good coder?
It's funny that you ask that, because every time when I would try to apply to jobs, I wouldn't know what to apply for. I didn't have a good way of describing what I did, because for me, I've always viewed, especially when I was doing design for anything technology, internet-based, it was like, well, the design is just one piece of it. The interaction with it is also a part of the design. The content, that the writing style, all that is a part of the design. Like all of that. So I've never been able to separate the two, especially when it comes to doing web design. So, and I really started to sharpen my skills as a developer when I was working with other developers. Actually taught myself CSS from a lynda.com video from molly.com, which I love her. But it was when I was working as, I think the title was web designer for this, you know, company in Milwaukee. And we were doing everything tables. And then we handed it off to the developers to do the back-end developers to do the ASP.NET stuff. And that was it. We did everything in tables. That's just how we did. We had these templates. And then I was like, this CSS might actually be really cool. So I was the first front end, you know, web designer to make a fully CSS layout at this company. So, yeah. So just like spending that time and learning from others has been invaluable working and being pushed really hard because I am stubborn. Like, I'm not naturally smart on these things. I just work really hard because I don't want to like look stupid kind of thing. So I end up, you know, spending extra hours when I'm, you know, in an agency world, for example, that has this like, this Git process and all of these, they use Gulp or Grunt or all this other stuff. So I was like, all right, well, I need to figure this stuff out. And so, yeah, I just do a lot of research and yeah, I guess that's it, and practice it a lot.
Amy, do you have that same kind of tenacity? Are you dog on a bone with things?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, once I see something I want to make happen, I won't stop until it happens. So yeah, I'm definitely like that. And I'm also just a really big nerd. So, you know, put those two things together and I will spend days staring at my screen, trying to figure something out that I just know can happen. I know it can happen. Yes. And I know I'm going to figure it out if I sit here and Google enough and look at enough stuff. And, yeah, so my skills are almost entirely self-taught, even though I do have that computer endorsement that has helped me so much in my career. And I am learning all the time too. So it's never ending. I really want to take a day where we just all look at all our old sites, because I just think of even what I did 5 years ago compared to what I'm doing now. I just feel like it's a different person that was making those websites than who I am now.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm doing now. Yeah.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to know, like, you know, we all have a tenacity for self-learning, which I think we'll probably find with a lot of women that we interview that they really had to kind of pave their own path and dig in quite a bit to do that. But then also this idea of how do we grow and what has helped people grow, you know, and what kind of supports did you get? For example, there's, this one theme that I use to build a lot of sites, the developer of that theme, he's younger than me by probably 20 years. And, but he's so great because he'll give me a hard time about stuff like, Angela, I just cannot believe you're still using Coda, or, you know, like the kids are all now using Atom, you know, but he also taught me SAS, and he taught me, you know, the Gulp and the Git. He's like, you really need to be using GitHub. And so he sat down with us at a Starbucks with me for like 4 hours and just went through it all and explained it all. And then I was able to just kind of absorb it like a sponge. And then the next meetup I led, I'm like, okay, people, this is what we've got to do. And I had to teach it. But then in teaching it, I really had to get the step-by-step-by-step down, so other people who maybe aren't as willing to spend 8 hours figuring shit out could have step-by-step instructions like, okay, just install this. This works. If you do this, it'll happen. And struggle with the things that you want to struggle with rather than some of this other stuff that's a pain in the butt to have to work through.
Yeah. One of the experiences that I've had is, especially when teaching myself through these like online documentation of things, it's like they already assume that it starts like halfway through. Like there's initial steps that they don't really talk about because they just assume that everyone knows that this is done. I remember like spending, I don't know, I was like a couple hours just trying to figure out, do I put this in, is this something that I put in a file on the server? Is this something that I type into a command line? Like just needed that. Like the documentation was like set up for people that already had experience with it.
Oh yeah. It's like the furniture you get where it says step one, open package, step two, assemble.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a lot of empathy for people now on the WordPress forums and stuff where someone will throw out a function, a snippet to put in your functions file. And people like, it's clear to me now. I look at it.
Oh,
like,
right.
Yeah. Where do I put this?
People are like, where do I put this? And, and sometimes people can diss on them a little bit. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. There was a day where you didn't know how to put that. I guarantee you.
When I see those people chime in, I sometimes have to respond and just say, look, you know, we all started somewhere. So let's try and be kind. And I think we're kind of running out of time here on our very first episode. So real quick, you want to let everybody know where they can find you online, Tracy?
I'm Taps most places, T Apps, because my last name is Apps. And you can find my most of my stuff at taps.design.
And Angela?
And I am Ask WP Girl most places. And you can also find our bios and links to our social media on womeninwp.com, right?
Yes. And I am Amy Masson at Amy Masson most places. I have a number of alter egos that you can also find online. go to our website, womeninwp, and follow us on social media and sign up to be a guest, and or just even to follow us or to let us know what you want to hear about, because we're new and we don't know what we're doing. So we need to hear from people to find out what direction we should go. Well, we'll see everybody next time.
Bye.